Little pre-show topic. I want to get your guys' thoughts on. I don't know if either of you saw this today. Jay, I know you're probably going to be buying this game because you have a new love for this sport. Zion Williams is officially one of the three players that's going to get a cover for NBA 2K21. And obviously, Damian Lillard is the other guy. Third is to be named later. I've read a lot that it's probably going to be Kobe. It's probably going to be an honorary Kobe cover, which I would be completely fine with. But I want to ask you guys, have all you guys seen someone get this much like honor and respect for so little done in the sport you're playing in? He's only played like 3 months and then they shut everything down.
Yeah, I got one, especially for video game recognition. Peyton Hillis. He had like 8 good games and got a Madden cover and disappeared.
Disappeared. It's just a little weird to me. Like, listen, I don't think anybody was on the Zion train more than I was leading into the draft, leading into the season. But the guy came out, had a great showing. Carmelo Anthony put him in a blender a couple of times. But other than that, he hasn't done anything where you're like, oh, yeah, let's give this guy the cover of a video game, which is, in video game-wise, that's the highest regard. I mean, Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson, last two NFL covers. You've got guys like Giannis and Kyrie Irving who have been on the NBA covers. I'm pretty sure, what are we on, our third or fourth Boston Bruin to get it by now? I mean, seems like every time I bought that game, it was a Boston Bruin. It's just Brad Marchand licking someone's face. But, I mean, Russ, does it seem a little premature that we're giving Zion the cover of NBA? And I get it's a rotating cover because there's multiple ones you can buy. But still, for Zion to be one of those guys, it's just a little to me.
I'm okay with it because it's the next gen slot that he's filling. Like, that's what they're calling that cover, the next gen. So they're picking someone they think will be the next gen. If you look on Twitter for 5 seconds, Zion is, his popularity anyways, anointed the next one. So I'm fine with it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now anointed the next one. Absolutely, anointed the next one I'll give you. But I want to ask you, if you're Ja Morant, are you a little pissed off right now?
Oh, yeah.
In perpetuity.
Ja Morant put up a rookie of the year season no matter who he went up against, whether Zion played a full year or not. So, Jay, I mean, if you're Ja Morant, are you not looking at him going, wait, I played the whole year, took over and was literally like a force out in the NBA. You're giving it to the guy that's only played half a season, and in that half a season, they limited him to everything he was going to do.
Well, going against Ja Morant's credit is that, have you seen the sweat beads on Zion in the promo trailer for that game? like they made sweat look real through a TV. They didn't do that to Ja Morant, so that's a one up to Zion. But yeah, prime Ja Morant, I'm really pissed off. Like they got drafted together, correct?
Yes.
Same year. He's going to be the number two to him in everything that they do until he gets his own cover and he has his own sweat beads. Like he's very vocal about it on Twitter. He's a good follow.
Oh, absolutely. And then lastly, like I said, I was speculating. Thursday, tomorrow, they will announce the next, like the final cover of the three. I said I've read a lot that it's might be an honorary cover to Kobe. I don't think anybody here is going to say a bad thing about it, but a fitting little a fitting tribute to Kobe that he, you know, the year of his passing, they honor him with that honorary third cover, Russ?
Yeah, I think it's fair. I think it's the expected move. I mean, you get to have your current player in Lillard, your next-gen guy in Zion, and then do your classics, right? Do your heroes of the past. Mm-hmm. Tie it all together.
Jay?
What if it's just like a picture of a hotel and it says $150 million? Because that's how much it's going to cost the league to make their bubble in Florida. Like, that would be an iconic cover. It would really just encapsulate the season.
It's a picture of the virus itself.
It's just a mask.
All right,
I get it.
Not being a dick. It should be Kobe. Like, that's how you bookend it, man. That's the league start, the league end. You got to do one more thing for Kobe, I'd say. I wouldn't be mad if they did it, put it that way.
The stats, the salt, the sanity, and every so often, they talk about sports, too. Here is Eric Dorsch, Russ Ivanek, and Justin Marcus. This is Armchair Sports Talk.
Done after one and
All right, well, welcome into another episode of Armchair Sports Talk. As always, I am your host, Eric Dorsch. You know who the other two are. It's Justin Marcus, who we're going to get 60 seconds of salt out of here in a minute. I'm quite excited for it. The other guy is Statman Russ Ivanek, who I think is still sitting at his desk with his calculator, trying to figure out how that fourth pick came about. But I want to ask you guys something real quick. And Jay, I'll ask you first. I want you to tell me, you get all in, you invest everything you have in it, and you lose. Am I talking about the real lottery, the NHL lottery, or are they the exact same freaking thing?
I mean, if there was the Bill Daily equivalent of handing me a lottery ticket at a 7-Eleven, same exact thing. I got to watch the guy flip cards, and before he flipped the card, he was like, oh, man, this is not good. So I'm going to go with the lottery is worse because you had the facial expressions to say it visually what was happening.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, we're going to get a little I'm going to let Jay just open it up and rant for a minute because I know how much he really wants to as he takes a big swig of that beer. But Rusty, I mean, I guess if we look back at the last episode, Jay and I were all in. We were jumping on it. You were the one who was trying to be the actual voice of reason. You kind of took over my role as the sanity of the show for a minute. I mean, as much as you can't say you didn't want that, you wanted that first pick. Not really a surprise that that first pick just didn't come to be.
No, it's not a surprise at all because, say I try to shoot a basketball. Spoiler, I'm not very good at it. And I think, hey, I got a 1 in 5 chance of making this. When I miss, I'm not surprised. And that's what happened. The Wings had an 18.5% chance. This is what I've been ranting about. Is it broken? Should everyone be mad? Yes. But they should have been over a month ago when they announced all of this, too, because this was what was always coming. The second most likely statistical scenario for the number one overall pick happened.
Mm-hmm.
It was dumb and broken from the onset. And it was just really holding out the hope that, like, maybe, right, against better judgment. And, well, we saw how that went Friday.
Absolutely. Okay, so I've been teasing it. I'm going to open it up. I'm going to let him loose. He's going to get his 60 seconds. We will put this stopwatch on him. It's usually an imaginary stopwatch. But before I let him loose, I want to give him that last little thing. Jay, the team that's going to get the number one pick is still playing hockey.
You don't need to do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, I give you 60 seconds of salt.
All right. It's not going to be 60 seconds. I tell you that right fucking now. It's going to be more than that. This is either the NHL's worst nightmare, which, again, Russ – astutely put, it was predicted to happen mathematically, or this is their own plan. Alexis Lafreniere, which I'm pronouncing for the second time correct for those keeping score, he gets the benefit of, one, probably playing for a team that's not rock bottom, that doesn't have talent on their team. He doesn't have all the pressure of having to show up day one and be the man for the next 12 years. He's going to go to an established team. Number two, it gets to be a hand-picked team, so I'm starting to think that these little balls that get moved around and behind closed doors, it's very convenient. We also have Seattle up and coming, too. He gets, and my point about Seattle is he gets to go to a market that probably needs him, a team that's probably like the Jets or Minnesota or Coyotes, that they're not bad, but they're not great. And a team that's going to play in the playoffs gets to gather this new asset and run with him. So he gets the benefit of no pressure and all the glory of being the first-round draft pick. The NHL gets another night to televise the TV show and do everything. And then the players who are on teams like the Riley Shahans in the world and like the subpar players who are just waiting for someone to come join them, they don't get him this year. The Red Wings aren't getting their next guy. Florida's not getting their next guy. Columbus, I think they have a chance to get their next guy. But like, my cynical brain is telling me this is about money and markets and dropping this guy handpicked in this weird year and placing him where the league wants him to go. So he's on the next cover of NHL 20, whatever. It's way too convenient that this is what got established months ago, like Russ said, and it's playing out to the NHL's hand. We all tweeted about the NHL on Friday night. They probably loved it. It was negative, but it was probably great for them.
No, it was attention. It was absolutely attention, yeah.
I hate that I was already married my brain to Lafreniere. Oh, I just screwed it up. To Alex, I was married to this man being in a Red Wing uniform, and now he gets the bypass being on a dog shit team, and he gets to play for a great team and make that team even better. And it's just, it's convenient bullshit, and it pisses me off.
Well, I hate to break it to you, that was way more than 60 seconds, but we're okay with it.
I blacked out.
Okay. Yeah, we're absolutely okay with it. Russ, I'll let you respond first on all that. I mean, the high notes, the low notes, do you agree? Do you disagree?
No, I mean, I agree that it drove a ton of attention, and that's why else would you have potentially two different lottery drawings if you're not trying to drum up attention when there's no other sports going on? Like, no, this was by design. This happened exactly like the NHL wanted it to. And the slot that actually won originally belonged to Montreal. So either the fix is going to be in that this draft was supposed to have been in Montreal, which it was, which has now been canceled, and the French-Canadian comes along as the consensus number one. Shocker, all right, the writing's on the wall. Or it's going to be deliciously hilarious when Montreal doesn't get it, and it goes somewhere else, and it was supposed to be their slot. And then we can remind them of that and that they got swept by the Red Wings this year, because it's always a good time to bring that up. And it's just bad. This system is so broken. I looked back at the 10 worst teams in the salary cap era since we've been doing this whole lottery thing. Of the top five, none of them got to pick first. Of the top 10, two got to pick first, which falls in line with this 18.5%, right? So it's small sample, but it's working how it should. But those teams were the Islanders with Tavares, and then Edmonton in 2009. Right, and we saw Edmonton. Edmonton had to be on there because they were so bad for so long. But it's so frustrating to watch this. And yeah, I think Jay's exactly right that they got exactly what they wanted. They got attention. We're all mad, and it doesn't matter for them.
It's bullshit, man. Take that deep breath. Take it. Take it.
It's just rough, man. It's just All right. I don't know how you guys feel, but whenever I hear this conversation or complaints about the draft, the counterpoint is always, you're rewarding teams for doing poorly. It was like, well, fucking yeah, that's the point of a draft. If you're against that, then you're against the draft. Get rid of it, right? Or you have to so drastically change it. But realistically, how many teams are actually tanking, right? In the history of this draft, of any draft, how many times are you actually tanking to where this is an issue? It's not, right? You had the 84 Penguins who ended up getting Lemieux. Cool. That ended up working out. They probably would have left town otherwise. You had the 93 Senators. They got Daigle out of it, who's considered one of the biggest draft busts of all time. Oops, didn't work out for them anyways. You want to talk about Edmonton recently maybe tanked? Okay, we're talking about three teams in the history of the league in like 30 years of this, and you're going to paint with these broad brushes. This is the NHL making the worst team have less than a 20% chance of getting number one pick is the equivalent of seeing a bug in your driveway, and instead of taking off your shoe and killing it, you get in your car and you try and run it over. It's way overkill. You're painting with these broad brushes to fix these tiny little problems, and you're screwing everything up when this is so, so simple. I don't know. Are we... You can either reward failure, or you can punish it. You can't do both. And I don't know where you guys land with that.
Well, see, I had that in my next thing for my notes, was that the fact that it's weird to say, but I feel like the NHL's tanking policy or draft is the most conducive thing, because for the most part, teams that do that end up turning around. So you don't have the Arizona Cardinals, except for the Arizona Cardinals the last couple of years, drafting first overall over and over and over and over again. I mean, the Eagles had the first overall pick a couple of years ago, and then they made the Super Bowl a year later. So sometimes you're tanking to get that one last little piece you need.
Yeah. Yeah. The quickest way up is to get talent. You want to talk about like a cap, like, hey, you picked first. Cool. You can't pick in the top three next year. Fine. Totally fine with it. But like Edmonton, even if we say they were a tanker, how many times did they had to suck before they got got someone good, right? Like, this is, it doesn't guarantee anything. Even if you get the top overall pick, why are we making it so hard to get there? Like,
I know
I know we're Red Wing fans, so it always comes back to that, but 25 years of playoffs, right? Like, Stephen Weiss is still on the payroll. And he's going to be next year, too, right? He hasn't played a game on NHL ice in 5 years. This team isn't bad because they're tanking. This team is bad because they were mismanaged to continue to compete for years longer than they should have. Oh, the exact thing that you're arguing against if you're against tanking. So now you're punishing a team that did the exact thing that you're saying they should do if you're an anti-tanker. You can't reward and punish it.
It's, yeah. Like, the one thing I keep falling back on is, like, there's an old adage that high tides rise all boats, right? Yep. So, like, if you do a reverse snake order of, like the NFL does one thing correct, and you reverse order that shit in terms of a draft. The only thing they do is correct. Because, like, if we get that much good talent, like, wouldn't it be idealistic if every team was just good and talented, and it didn't really matter where you draft, and everything came down to the last seconds of the game and a puck just crossing the blue line? Like, that, high tides rise all boats. The league would enjoy that. Why do we make it complicated to make the shittiest team get the best asset so that we can keep having everyone be happy? Like, that, they make it so complicated. I don't understand it. You're better off being a average-ass team to get an average-ass pick every year and continue just to be an average-ass. Like,
and then get lucky, like Chicago did last year, and jump into the top three from outside of the top 10.
And get Kirby Dosh. Like,
yeah. Just kind of like ride out. It's more rewarding right now to be kind of mediocre. And you're rewarding luck more than any kind of a plan. You should reward forward thinking.
I hate it.
Kill me now.
I
come with this year.
I'm listening to it, and I completely agree with both of you. It is that thing of, I think it's going to take a couple years of a kind of mess up like this, where a team that has no business drafting first is drafting first, for them to realize, okay, we need to actually look at this and maybe make some changes. Because at this point, you're saying you can be a playoff contending team, which is very rare in any other sport. I don't know the last time a team that actually made the playoffs, other than trading into it, ever got a top 10 pick. Yet somehow we see it in hockey, or at least this year. So it's a very weird thing, and I get they're kind of doing a bit on the fly because of everything going on in the world, but at some point we need to address it, and we need to make some kind of change that's going to make sense. I mean, far be it from me that the NHL does something that makes sense.
So you're saying that in this crazy-ass year of 2020 – it's possible that it's gotten so broken that everyone's finally going to realize it needs change, because hindsight is 2020.
That's the moniker of the year, man. It's the year of hindsight.
I'm with you on it, man. I am with you on it for sure. Obviously we'll keep an eye at, see what they do. I doubt it'll be a change we'll see before Nora gets to college, but at the same time we can hope. Breaking news the last couple days, and I want to get your guys' opinion on this. I know Jay is over the moon about it. I want, like, Russ, you and I can look into the contract a little bit, but Cam Newton heads to a new town, taking a one-year deal with the New England Patriots for – it's insane, a one-year deal, and everybody's kind of getting up in arms about it, and to some extent I see why. It's only $1 million base salary. The thing is, with all the incentives, he has a chance to make $7.5 million. And you got to think at least some of these incentives he can justify.
Yeah, a lot of them are roster bonuses and per game, just incentives. So it should be rare. As long as he's on the team, he should get most of it. But even if he gets all of it, that's like high backup money. It's still cheap.
Mm-hmm.
Still nothing.
Well, and I'm going to jump down a little bit because it kind of leads to a question. But I wanted to ask you, Russ, because I know you and I have talked about it a lot over the years, and you kind of led into the first half of it. I wanted to ask you, and then Jay, you follow up Russ, is this Cam just taking what he can get? And I don't mean that in a derogatory, I'm just saying, like, we haven't seen a lot of interest in Cam for some reason or another. He's still a great athlete, but a lot of teams haven't really been, you know, as far as we know, blowing up his phone, trying to get him into camp. So is this Cam kind of taking the offer he's getting? Or is this just the Bill Belichick Patriots saying, we're going to treat you the same way we treat every other talent we try to bring in here?
No, this is a Belichick special. I think Cam could have held out, maybe gotten a little bit more somewhere else. Maybe not, right? But there's, it's weird how he left Carolina because we're talking about a guy that, yeah, he hasn't been an MVP candidate since 2015. Teddy Bridgewater hasn't played a full game since then, but they gave him a big contract. this is a Bill Belichick special where you're getting a talented guy and a buy-low opportunity for dirt cheap. This is one of a couple points that I had. Plus, if they don't want him after this year, right, he goes, they get a free compensation pick for this. All he has to do is look halfway decent, right? So they're creating a draft pick out of nothing, which, again, is a huge Patriots thing. And fun fact, Nora Princiati pointed this one out. There is only one active QB who has played the Patriots more than once and never lost, and it's Cam Newton. Ooh. So he's taking a piece off the board for everybody else, too. This is a Bill Belichick special to AT, and shame on all of us for not seeing it coming.
Absolutely.
I love everything about this signing, and I love the fact that it basically is backup money because he has to perform. And I think part of the interesting thing for me is that Cam came out as soon as he got signed and was like, don't get it twisted. I didn't want to leave Carolina. I got pushed out. He's been quiet this whole time, and he doesn't say that until he gets signed, and he's still in peak physical condition. He's amazing off the field. He's okay accuracy-wise on the field, but he's a great playmaker on the field. I love everything about it. I have no problems about it. He went from playing with Christian McCaffrey and old-ass Greg Olsen and I think DJ Moore and Curtis Samuel, and now he gets Edelman, Sony Michel, which is a little bit of a downgrade, but he's playing for the Patriots. Like, he gets to hang his hat on the Patriots for 1 year, which is where everyone wants to go most of the time. I think he's going to be fine. I think it's okay that he took less money because he's going to a great organization. And even when he comes out, he'll probably still get another job too if he doesn't stay, because they'll know that he was in that system. He got a year of Belichick. He'll go somewhere else. Maybe he goes to Tampa. Who knows?
He'll come to Detroit. That's what happens, right?
I'll take him. I'll take him. Who's our backup right now?
Chase Daniels.
Yeah, chase him out. No. I don't want that. Give me Cam. I love Cam. My opinion actually doesn't matter because I love Cam. You could have told me Cam signed with McDonald's and I'd go buy McDonald's right now. Like, my opinion probably shouldn't count, but I love the signing.
Well, I will say, I do honestly think when Rivera got fired, Cam had been injured. I think the front office saw this as a chance. Let's just clean slate everything. We're going to build around McCaffrey regardless. So let's clean slate it. And that is the thing. Cam did get pushed out, but I think it also hurt Cam a lot when Ron Rivera got a job in Washington. And bringing in Cam, you could have brought Cam in for the same thing to Washington. It's justifiable. Haskins may not be ready yet. Let's let you see a year under Cam. He knows everything I want, so you can literally learn from him and then step in. But I think it said a lot when Rivera brought in his other quarterback, Kyle Allen, over Cam Newton.
Ooh.
So I think that definitely put everybody's question of, okay, why doesn't a guy who spent his entire head coaching career with this guy, why doesn't he want him and he's available? And you know, if him and Cam had a relationship, Cam would have tried to work a deal. Like I said, I fully expect Cam Newton to make close to $7 million this year. I really think the incentives and all that, because we always say it was it Brady or was it Belichick? Well, I think it was a bit of both, but I also think Belichick wants to win, so he's going to tailor an offense perfectly for Cam. Because let's be honest, Cam Newton is now going to drop back and pass like Tom Brady, but Cam Newton can get out. You got Julian Edelman in the slot. You're going to see a lot of rollouts, a lot of, you know, dumping it off or kind of reading it to the last second, and then Julian Edelman will block for him and he'll take the ball. So I think they're going to find a way to make this work, but I do think that Cam took a real hit right out of the gate when Ron Rivera didn't try to bring him in some way or another. But listen, the guy got a contract. It should be pretty good. But Jay, you're the fan, so I'll let you answer the question first. What can or should we expect out of Cam Newton in Foxborough with Bill Belichick?
I would expect that he would diminish Patriot running backs from a fantasy perspective even more than they've ever been diminished. It's so hard to start a Patriot running back. Now you don't even need to draft them. Cam in Foxborough, I mean, It's the first year post Brady. I mean, Cam's in great condition from what I've seen on social media. I don't know. An average year, if someone can come and tell me what an average stat line is for a quarterback, 4,000 yards, 16 touchdowns. I don't know. Something like that. I would expect him to be serviceable. I'd be drafting him. Draft him in a heartbeat as a back, as a QB2 for my leagues.
Okay, so if I told you Cam was going to go for 3,500, 2-to-1 ratio passing, two touchdowns to one interception, and was going to rush for 500 plus, would you take the over or the under out of Cam?
The over. I think he's starting day one. The over stid him until he is proven wrong. I think he's going to have volume of games to go over that.
Okay. Ross?
I think that's a really good line.
Yeah.
I'll go. I think he goes under on the passing yards, over on the rushing yards there. So I guess total yardage, I'll still take the over. That's pretty much in line with his last three full seasons average. But if you want the short answer, what do you think Cam Newton's going to look like in the AFC East? He's going to look like Josh Allen. They're very similar. Completion percentage, interception percentage, quarterback rating, rushing yards, yards per attempt in rushing. They're all pretty close between the two. So, it'll be interesting. Like Jay said, stay away from Sony Michel in fantasy football, because if there's one thing Cam Newton loves to do, it's running him from close, and that's all Sony Michel has. So it'll be fun. I think he's the best quarterback in the AFC East now. I don't know how you guys feel about that, though.
Oh, Darnold, Allen, Cam Newton.
Darnold, Allen.
And probably Tua.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I forgot about that guy.
Oh, no, Jay's torn.
Personal opinion, best quarterback, I would still give it to Josh Allen. But best athlete at that position and guy who I think is going to make the most plays for his team, it's Cam in a landslide. I personally think we're about to see the Josh Darnold train reach borrowed time in New York. I haven't seen enough out of him for him to be able to stay in that big of a market much longer. It's those USC quarterbacks to New York, man. It just doesn't seem to work. Mark
Sanchez. He hasn't fumbled anything off anyone's ass yet.
Butt fumbles. It's just USC quarterbacks to the Jets. It just doesn't seem to work. They're going to have to sever that tie. Personally, I'm betting the line. I think 3,500, 2-to-1 ratio. I see him personally, 20 and 10 touchdowns to interceptions, we'll say. I'm being generous here because I also don't think you're going to see him open it up a lot. I think to say Cam Newton passes the ball more than 25 times a game is a stretch. I really don't. I think Belichick's going to work really hard to keep that ball on the ground or in close spaces. I think the Patriots are going to win their division again. Unfortunately, not enough changed in that division for anything to really be different. Before we get to the final question, and I think you guys know the final question that's coming, Jay, I want to ask you real quick. Mm-hmm. You have Cam in camp. You have Jarrett Stidham in camp. You have Brian Hoyer in camp.
Cool.
Is there a QB controversy or QB battle in New England this year?
Not even close. Bill Belichick doesn't do this meritocracy bullshit. It's Cam Newton from day one. It's going to be Cam Newton who starts. He's got service time. He's got years. He's been in the league. He knows what to do. He's going to work with these pros. He's got Sanu and N'Keal Harry and Edelman. It's going to be time for Cam to shine all year long. As long as we have a season, it's going to be Cam's time to go.
Russ?
Yeah.
Jared Stidham? More like Jared Stidham.
Boo!
Yeah, it's Cam's show. It's Cam's show.
Cam's show. I think you're going to see a like Brady and Bledsoe thing when Bledsoe got healthy again. Belichick knows who he's going to start, but he's never going to let anyone other than Bill Belichick know who he's going to start. He will not comment. He will not say anything. He will play you to believe that Brian Hoyer has a chance. Jared Stidham's still sitting. If they were at all comfortable with Jared Stidham as their quarterback, Cam Newton doesn't get a contract from New England. They trust Brian Hoyer. He's been in that system a couple times now, so he knows what's asked of him, and he's a serviceable enough quarterback that he can keep a team in it. He's never going to win it, but he can keep him in it. So, yeah, I agree. It's Cam's show, and it's Cam's job to lose. But I think you're going to see a lot of classic Bill Belichick. You're not going to find out who the starting quarterback of the New England Patriots is until we run that quarterback out for the first snap of the 2020 NFL season. So,
and I hope the first snap they have Sony Michel under center. No quarterback even on the
field. I think that would be great. Just run the Wildcat. Julian Edelman, he was a quarterback in college. Just let him take the first snap.
They should run whatever offensive play they videotaped against the Browns. And like, that's the play they should run.
All right, final.
We've been studying this one.
Yeah. Final question, then we'll move on to the next topic. I want to ask you guys, Russ, who has a better season, Cam Newton or Tom Brady?
Oh. Are we doing better as in team wins? Or are we doing better as in individual stats?
Overall, who gets their team a little further? Who looks a little better in the new system?
I'm going to go Cam Newton.
Okay.
It hurts to say, but I think Cam's just got more raw ability in a better situation than Tom Brady. Tom Brady's the better quarterback at the end of the day, if we're looking at the length of their career, but Tom Brady is looking a little stiff in the face. I'm a little afraid he's looking a little stiff in the arm, too. So we'll see.
Okay, very nice. Jay?
I want to say Tom Brady because I know he's listening, and I want him to, like, get under this pressure that he has to be better because we're going to shit on him.
Oh, no, shit, I didn't think of that.
No, Tom Brady's not listening. It's Cam Newton. Tom Brady's old. He's got to play in the humidity of Florida now. He's got Gronk, who hasn't played professionally in a minute, even though he's partying and selling cannabis and doing all these things with his beautiful, beautiful girlfriend. Maybe wife, I don't know. One of the two. It's got to be Cam. This is year of 2020. This is the year where shit goes crazy. This is the year that Tom Brady goes crazy. A new team, give me Cam.
All right. I'm gonna go against. I'm going to say Tom Brady.
Why'd you do that?
Well, just like I said, I think if you told me to line up these offenses against each other, I think that Tom Brady's got more to work with talent-wise. I really do. I mean, let's be honest. Julian Edelman against Mike Evans, I think we're all going to take Mike Evans. Every day of the week and twice on Sunday. The running back game alone, I think, is – that's kind of a toss-up, honestly. Sony Michel against whoever Tampa's starting – is it still –
Peyton Barber or something?
Peyton Barber, yeah.
It's actually me. That's going to bring you.
And then, listen, they have two of the better tight ends in the league. Gronk is still Gronk, but then you added O.J. Howard in there, and that's not a bad second one to have. I think when it's said and done, Brady is going to have the better year, and I'm going to stick with that all the way through, but I do think if we're talking about it individually, Cam's going to go farther. Brady will have the better year. Cam's going to go farther. That's just a little bit more, because the big problem is everybody's questioning it. Brady's protection. Who knows how many times that guy's going to eat dirt this year? He's probably going to get kicked in the butt a couple times.
They might just have to use O.J. Howard just on blocking downs.
Oh, yeah. He didn't get used last year.
And he's not going to get used this year.
He might just be a blocker.
Poor O.J. I don't like orange juice anyways. That actually works out in my favor. Random thought. But I don't like orange juice.
Random thought. O.J. Howard. But orange juice, right? Florida's, you know, principal export.
They're not using what they've got.
Something going here. I mean, and their principal import is old people, which Tom Brady is. So we're just coming and going in good places here.
We're just waiting for Metamucil to show up and do an ad.
Give Gronk time. Tide Pods, he'll be eating Metamucil pods.
Yeah. All right. Well, we want to talk about the Rocket Mortgage. It's here. It's the first Detroit thing we've had in a while. But before we get to it, we have a quick little topic. We've kind of been knocking around for a bit now. Players taking a pass. Players are just choosing to sit themselves out on these returning seasons. And I want to ask you guys, apart from everything else, Rush, and your opinion on what's going on, I want to ask you, how long until we see a quote-unquote big name say they're just not going to do it?
2 weeks.
Okay.
I think 2 weeks, because a lot of these plans, these return-to-play plans, are – starting the games are predicated starting the end of July, or camp is starting the end of July, you know, whatever it is. So we're going to get 2 weeks out of that, and it's going to really start to set in for somebody. And somebody's just going to go, you know what? ain't worth it. Or they're going to test positive, and they're going to go, you know what, this sucks. I feel awful. I'm not going through it again. I'm not joining up with all those people and possibly getting this again. And they're going to make the right decision for their health, and they're going to stay home. We've already had 12 athletes do it, 4 from baseball and 8 from basketball. None of them stars yet, but we're getting there.
Getting there.
I think we're going to see an NHL star do it soon, because we just hammered down the idea – or not the idea – the agreement between the NHL and the NHLPA for the players to play in the Olympics in the next 2 Winter Olympics that are coming. Now that they got that in the bag, Tampa doesn't need to put masks on their dummy defenseman anymore. I don't know if you guys saw that. They literally put a mask on a defenseman that was a dummy to practice against it. Even so, the point is, even when the league said, okay, now players on ice go from, like, I think 6 to 12 or 5 to 10, they basically doubled the amount of people that can play on the ice in the practice phase 2 of the NHL. Steven Stamkos and Pat Maroon both went to Twitter and put, like, the big emoji eyes, like, excuse me, we're doing what now? Like, it's coming. It's coming. And I think because we have the Olympics hammered out in the CBA or whatever that thing lies in, I think it's going to happen with the NHL. I honestly think we're finally going to be like, no, this is not cool. And so, like, a Steven Stamkos will do it.
You know who it's not going to be? Jake Effin Virtanen. Do you see the post of him?
No.
Drunkenly partying in a club last night? It's all over Instagram.
This is...
this moron.
Good
job, bud.
My biggest problem with this is that I just feel it's apparent that these owners and the commissioners of these leagues are trying to squeeze out every little profit margin they can, and we're doing this little, like, pull give and take dance until we get to the line, and people are like, nah, I'm not dancing with your ass. Yeah, that's what it feels like. We're like, oh, we're in phase 1 and phase 2, and we're gonna have a lottery that blows balls, and we're gonna come, and then people are just not gonna come. If the players don't play, it's power to the people. They're not gonna play. It's gonna happen.
I love that we got to phase 2 of the stupid ass lottery before we got to phase 2 of the return to play.
It's all madness. It's not gonna work.
I had the same thing in my notes, though. I think about 2-3 weeks, we're going to see a big name go, wait, why the hell am I doing this? Like, I'm established in my career enough. I don't need the money. I can sit for a while. And because a lot of these big names still have potentially 10 plus years of a career that they don't. And a guy like LeBron, he's far enough in his career. His family has to be the number one priority, and he's not going to risk getting sick and costing them anything. So, I agree. I think at least 2 weeks. Speaking of LeBron – oh, go ahead, Jay.
One quick thing. There is one league we're forgetting about that no one has sat out yet, and they're probably going to be the only sport that's on TV in the fall, and they also own an island. The UFC.
The floor is lava.
UFC.
Oh, the UFC.
Fight. Yeah. I saw a promo video for Fight Island and all the manpower that's going into it. The UFC is going to be the first sport that started and the only one that happens, because all those fighters are going to go, and they're going to fight. That's all we're going to have is UFC.
I think the PGA Tour is not going to give up. They're just going to keep rotating guys out. It's just going to be that kind of thing. Even if it gets to the point where like the guys that are on the web.com tour or the Corn Ferry Tour, as it's called, it used to be called the web.com tour, and then they changed it to the Corn KORN Ferry Tour.
Yep.
Okay.
That's the minor leagues of golf.
Web.com is the shitty web address that's put in like a movie that came out in 1993 when someone's like, I'm using the internet now.
Yeah, it used
web.com.
I forget it used to be like the Nike Tour, and then it had another name. I don't remember what it was called before that, but then yeah, web.com, and now it's the Corn Ferry Tour.
Corn Ferry,
that one I don't like. I still call it the web.com tour. Even if they have to keep rotating guys in from that, they're not gonna let this thing fall. It's just how it's gonna be. But speaking of LeBron, Lakers guard Avery Bradley is chosen to sit out. So he doesn't want to do it. So the Lakers said, okay, fine. They just signed J.R. Smith for the remainder of the season. I want to ask you, though, Jay, and this just might be me overthinking it. Should rosters be locked from before they locked it, like before the stoppage? Should the rosters be locked? And it's like, no, you don't get to like just – add a guy I guess you could have done that then, but should the rosters kind of be as like kind of like how we do in the playoffs, your rosters are like frozen once it starts?
I would say no, because that's like doing one right thing while you're still doing 100 bad things. Like, yeah, don't let rosters do anything, but we should just open up the league in Florida where all these cases are going up. Like, I just feel like from a standpoint of right and wrong, it would be funny if they did that, because it'd be dumb. J.R. Smith wants to show up in Los Angeles, no shirt on, and not pass LeBron the ball. I watched that. I'm waiting for my first date still. I'm supposed to go on a first date with the NBA. I do want this to happen just so I can date them for a minute. But it's just it's already dumb. It's already dumb. Let players just go where they think they're going to go. And if they want to play, they want to play, because it's going to all get shut down. It's all for naught, is my point.
It's fair. Rusty?
No, I'm in the same way. I actually think this is one of the coolest things that the NBA has done that the other leagues really need to take some awareness of, NHL. But the NBA, one guy comes off, that's 8% of your active roster. Like, and if that's a regular rotation guy, you could be talking like 20% of your minutes that is just gone. And if you can't replace it, then you're like two or three guys away from having real trouble fielding a competitive team when you're supposed to jump in the playoffs. So I'm waiting for the like J.R. Smith inevitable bonehead move that gets LeBron mad again. Uh-huh. But it's better than having nobody there, especially for these teams that are maxed out on like three or four guys and are just filling in with veteran minimum guys. You need bodies, and this lets it happen, because without it, NBA would be a lot closer to not happening.
Okay. I mean, I'm kind of on the fence with it. I really am. Like you guys, I inevitably want to see the LeBron James killing J.R. Smith on live TV or paying one of his high school teammates who he's still best friends with to do it. But at the same time, I'm like, I'm in that mindset of your the roster you had before the stoppage was good enough. I get a guy sitting out, but you have a G League, you have other things. Let's be honest. We're never going to get to an NBA Finals this year anyway. It's going to shut down well before that. So at the same time, I'm like, you know what? You can afford to lock the leagues down, and we'll leave it as is. Lastly, before we move on to the Rocket Mortgage, this is a big hypothetical. It's a big, big hypothetical, but I want to ask it anyway, Russ. Do you think in one sport we see enough guys sit out to shut down the league? Or do you think they would just, kind of like I've been hinting at throughout this, do you think they would just start bringing up prospects?
I think if we're going to have a chance at any league, it's going to be basketball. For the same point that I made earlier, that one guy is a bigger percentage of your roster, is a bigger percentage of your time on there. Hockey, we've got minor leagues we can pull from. They can pull guys up. Football, there's way too many guys on a roster anyways. They'll pull from anywhere. Baseball's got 18 layers of minor leagues. We're mm-hmm. fine. Basketball, you got a real shot. But I think that even – here's my kind of hot take on it maybe. I think even if we get, like, say LeBron and AD drop, they say, no, we're not doing it. And the Lakers as a team are like, no, we're not doing it. I think they still go on. I don't think that stops them. And it's 100% for the money. We know it costs $150 million for them to do this, to do this whole bubble setup. They're due to lose $900 million in revenue for the playoffs. So as long as that scale keeps tipping hard, $750 million that way, they're going to go on, even if they have to give one team a bye and to pull the Lakers out. I mean, we would have to have a mass exodus of players for this to get even close. And even then, it would have to be advertisers pulling, right? Mm-hmm. Networks pulling, going, you're not getting the $900 million anyways. Maybe you're getting $200 million, and then the calculus is completely different, and then they'll do it. But we could be down two teams, and I'll still trudge this along. 750 million reasons to.
I utterly cannot wait until our generation and someone from our generation fills the seats of these owners and these commissioners, and they start making correct decisions, because you got a bunch of baby boomers and the other people behind them, 6-year-old white dudes making money decisions and not health decisions. And they're, like Russ said, they will find a way. They found a way to have two fucking draft lotteries in the NHL.
Oh my God. They will find a way.
To put people in places so the money turns over hand, and they, it's just, it's all, I'm excited for people, just like we talked about last week. I'm excited for the NFL to screw this up. I'm excited for leagues and their owners and their GMs to show their asses, because their asses just want that money, and that's it. These are money decisions instead of health and player decisions, and I can't wait for players to be like, goodbye, I'm going to go back to my Taco Tuesday mansion and not worry about showing up on the court. They don't need the money. That's when it's going to get interesting, and it's going to affect CBA agreements down the road. This is a long term thing that we're talking about here. It's going to be a fun ride to watch.
So Taco Shane Falco Tuesday.
Say that again, Russ.
I said, so when do we get Shane Falco to fill in as a replacement player?
I don't know who that
point
is.
Guard Shane Falco, the replacements, Keanu Reeves' character.
Oh, that he was a fake guy, but he was a real guy playing a fake guy who I should have known. So I want him to play.
Wait. So are you saying he was a dude?
I made now.
Wait,
what?
Are you saying he was a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude?
Exactly.
There we go. Robert Downey Jr. can see into the future.
Survive. I just bamboozled Russ. It's an excellent achievement today.
You've been bamboozled.
I agree that we will have a sports shutdown. Unfortunately, I'm going with one that has a much bigger roster and doesn't have as much of a talent pool to pull from. I think it's going to be the NFL. I really think the NFL is going to have enough players, because you have so many high-profile guys who are so, not to be mean, but unfortunately what we've seen with Antonio Brown and all that over the years are for themselves, that I just think you're going to have a couple teams of talent say they just don't want to do it. They don't want to risk it. And unfortunately, there is no minor league. There's the XFL, but no one's pulling from that. So unfortunately, I think we are going to see the replacements in real life. I think we're going to see the NFL have to scramble to figure out a way to get guys on the field. And how they do that could be very interesting, or we could see a full-on no 2020 NFL season, which kills me because I want to see it. I want to see football in Detroit. I really do. But that's just my opinion. I think the NBA
is going to burn. Cleveland couldn't control staph infections at their arena. How are they going to do with this highly infectious disease that's ravaging the world?
Listen, I think the NBA is the most logical pick. I mean, Russ, you presented the facts that are kind of indisputable, but I just think if you look at the NFL, there are just too many guys wrapped up in themselves, and there are too many guys that just aren't paid enough early on that it's worth risking it. Guys like, I mean, I'm going to name the guys on our teams, like DeAndre Swift and them, they're going to make the money, but unfortunately that you have these other late picks, like I'm blanking on his first name. We joke that his last name's Penetration.
Don Pensini.
Yeah, there we go. He's not making enough money that it's worth it to risk it. Not that he's a big contributor, but at the same time, you have too many guys that are on expiring contracts and are waiting for their next big payday that I think it could happen. I hate to see it. I really don't want it to happen, but I think it could happen.
To your point, that is the sport with the most moving pieces. Like 53 guys on an active roster, right? You have 22 on the field at a time, spitting and bleeding and sweating everywhere. It takes one guy breaks the bubble, boom, you could have 100 guys infected in a game.
And I'm not trying to stereotype. I'm not trying to put out negative thoughts.
Careful.
To this. No, I don't mean like that. But I'm not saying, believe me, that's not the stereotype I was leaning towards. I'm just saying in the last, well, we'll say 5 years, can you name a sport that we've had more characters above all who just don't want to listen to what the commissioner has to say, doesn't want to listen to what the league has to say? They just want to do their own thing. And it takes that one guy to say, nah, you know what? I'm not staying in the hotel tonight. I'm going to go hang out and do something, breaking quarantine.
There's been more pioneers in the NFL.
Sure,
who decided
pioneers.
To stand behind what they believe in versus other sports. I'd buy that, yeah.
Can we just say Antonio Brown's name?
I wanted to say Antonio. Well, yeah, but you have OBJ too, though. That's the thing.
Oh yeah,
you have OBJ.
No, I think part of that might be the fact that there's just so many more players, and if you just say, "Hey, 10% of the athlete population of the world is cavalier like this," well, there's way more guys, so we're going to see it more in football.
But I would also like to point out Vontaze Burfict was in the NFL in that time too. So
Speaking of killing
people with your decisions.
I get how I opened up that question there. That statement didn't really – I didn't navigate it the right way. But, yeah, we just –
I know what you were putting down.
There were just too many people that wanted to do their own – in this time, you can't do that. It just can't be the same.
Quick final note on that. Do either of you follow OBJ on Instagram or Twitter?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. I follow him on Instagram, and I've watched him work out at his in-home facility for, like, 5 months. His ass better play over all the hype and the confidence he's been exuding on Instagram. He better play. I've watched him work out and catch balls and all kinds of things for way too damn long.
At least he's doing it at home. Cam Newton signed with the Patriots. He was working out with Mosa New that week.
He's Superman.
Already breaking quarantine. Like,
he doesn't need a mask. He's Superman. Everyone else needs a mask in this country, but not Cam Newton. He's Superman.
Whatever you say.
We've lost Eric. This is the part where we lose Eric because he's like, I'm going to look at my dog.
I think I'm being watched. Okay. lastly, guys, there's officially a sporting event in Detroit. It's one that I don't think Russ will watch a second of, but there's going to be a sporting event in Detroit. The Rocket Mortgage Classic comes to Detroit Golf Club. Obviously, this is one that's a little closer for me. My wife, the assistant golf professional there, so I've played the course many times. Last year I got to interview some people, got to see how they do everything. Obviously, not something they're going to do this year. There is no media. There are no fans. This is kind of you're on a very specific list. From what I've heard today from people at the Rocket Mortgage, there are guys who are like, I'm going to blank on his name. He went to Canton High School. He went to Michigan State. He got in on the Monday qualifier. I want to say it's Donnie Trosper, I think is what his name is. Played at Michigan State Golf, got in on Monday qualifier. His family lives 20 minutes from this golf course. They can't even come see him play in his first PGA Tour event. So it is that oof kind of thing. It's a great event. It's a lot of fun to watch. I think it's going to be awesome this year. Jay, before we get into our little, you know, weekly picks that we've been doing, because it's the only live sport we can actually have any picks on, I want to ask you, as much as you and I love watching golf and every week we enjoy it, how much better is it? It's here. It's in Detroit.
It's like a bowl of tomato soup on a cold day. And like the grilled cheese sandwich, like it's comfort. I enjoy it. I want to go to this event when I logistically can, with safety and all that other stuff figured out in this world. I want to go to this event. Like, this is going to be something I look forward to going once a year. It'll be an annual thing to actually go do if I can get my hands on tickets. It's in your own backyard. It's something good. You guys not like tomato soup and grilled cheese?
No.
It's not comforting as hell.
It's not that at all. What I'm trying to say that I really enjoyed was, right as that happened, right as Jay let in with his sentence, like to open it up, Russ's face totally read the exact words of, paint me your word picture. I want to know what you're talking about. Kind of thing. He really was just, he was drawn in. I saw him get drawn into, what kind of picture are you going to paint for me?
He goes, it's like a warm tomato soup. I'm like, all right, Bob Ross. I'm
all right, here we go.
Like with crackers. Do I get to use a metal spoon or is it a wooden spoon? What's going on?
Oh, it's wooden. It's very wooden.
Oh, God. Russ, obviously, you're not a golfer. You're not a big fan of it. We get you drawn in here and there for very sporadic moments. But I guess looking from the outsider, someone who's outside the golf fandom, a sporting event back in Detroit, what does it mean for the city? Like, what, you know, obviously, they're doing a lot with charity to try to drum everything up. So just in general, a sporting event back in Detroit, all signs point to we're headed in the right direction. I mean, what does it mean in that way?
So it's, I mean, there's a small scared part of me that's like, stop bringing people here. And then I twitch a couple times. And that's fair because we're one of the better states right now as far as daily infection rates. Whitmer's done a hell of a job locking this shit down. So it feels weird to open it back up a little bit. But it gives you a chance to do that. And it gives everyone a chance and a little bit of shred of normalcy as long as you do it right. So as long as we can do it right, this can be something good for Detroit to actually pump some money back in, especially the charity work. Like we need something. People are going crazy. This has been a really shitty year. And a lot of troubling things have come to light that really should have a long time ago, it turns out. But to have a little bit of normal, to have a little bit of warm tomato soup, not so bad.
Well, and see, to me, the big thing is it's the Rocket Mortgage at Detroit Golf Club. This is really, it's in Detroit, 7 in Woodward. Yep. This isn't the Detroit Lions playing in Pontiac or the Detroit Pistons playing in Auburn Hills, which, by the way, Russ, my mom will not stop bringing up the stories of us going to Pistons games and picking up that small child to get on the Jumbotron.
He liked it.
God bless you.
Yeah. That's a story for a later date. We'll talk about it at a different time. But this isn't that. This is in Detroit. It's not as creepy as it sounds.
It was not creepy. There was nothing sexual about this.
No.
I'm just imagining you guys grab a kid from like section 107 and you're in 213. And I'm like, where the fuck are we coming from?
Yeah. No, Paul Rowe was there. So we had a certified adult at the time.
I'm going to call Paul after this. I got to find out.
No, but this is in Detroit. It's in the city. This is really like fans came together, but players get to come in and see our city. This is it. We're trying to make the changes, and it's great for that. So with that being said, every week we've been picking our top, the top pairings, the top grouping that we think is going to have the best finish. I'm going to lead it off. Hopefully I didn't steal anyone's, but I'm going to lead it off here. I am actually going with the pairing of Ricky Fowler, Nate Lashley, and Webb Simpson.
I think you got us both.
I think I got you both. All right. Well, I mean, but everybody can give their reasons. Here, these are my reasons, and I think they're just three very simple reasons. Ricky's a favorite everywhere he goes. He's absolutely a favorite everywhere he goes. Nate Lashley is the defending champion. So technically, this guy's got the best track record at DGC for a PGA Tour event. And Webb Simpson already has won on the PGA Tour since they've resumed. Jay, I'm sorry I took it from you, and I'm sorry if I just took everything you had to say, but that's my pairing for this week.
All right, well, I had a backup pairing because I, too, wanted Ricky Fowler and Lashley and Simpson for the reasons you just stated. I'm going to go with Bubba Watson, Jason Day, and Brendan Todd only because they are team BBJ. You got Bubba, you got Jason, you got Brendan Todd. You have a terrible sexual joke. You took my notes for the last section of our podcast, and I'm pissed at you. So I'm going with the BJ team because who doesn't need a good BJ in Detroit?
Quit stealing my stick.
That is your stick all day long. I borrowed your stick. I'll give you your stick back when I'm done playing with it. Okay? Fair enough?
Clean it first, maybe? Yeah. Sanitize.
Hand sanitizer. I will.
Yeah. So Eric's got three simple reasons for picking Fowler, Lashley, Simpson. I've got one very convoluted one. And if you'll stick with me on this, I'll apologize in advance. So I did a little digging on Ricky Fowler. I found one music video that he was in. by the Golf Boys, where they sang "Oh Oh Oh" back in 2011. Thought that was a terrible waste of my time. Please go Google that and share in my misery. However, you know who else has sang some songs, been in some music videos? Ashley Simpson. Who are his partners? Lashley and Simpson. So that's what I'm going with.
I love it. I love it. All right, now see I don't know if either of you guys have seen this yet, but I find it interesting that no one wanted to take the pairing with Bryson DeChambeau. This guy has put on all that weight. He's gained all this distance. But I want to ask you both, because, you know, I know we're all, like, well, at least you two, me maybe not so much, are pretty healthy individuals. Have either of you guys seen, because he came out with it the other day, what his diet is for putting on all that weight?
I could eat that.
No, I haven't seen that.
Jay, I could eat that.
Jay, have you seen
it? Make me hungry. What is it?
Like, it's like four eggs. Right,
ready? Here we go. I have it right here. Four eggs. This is every day, Russ. Four eggs, five pieces of bacon, toast, and protein shake for breakfast. Two protein shakes for breakfast.
And then a nap.
Okay. The midday, he has a PB&J sandwich. Some,
hell yeah.
A go macro bar.
Yep.
Two shakes mid-round for every six holes. And then snacking when he's practicing. And then for dinner, he has steak.
And then a nap.
Yep. Then he has steak, potatoes, and two shakes averaging somewhere between 3,000 and 3,500 calories a day.
And like seven protein shakes.
That's a lot of protein shakes. Just the pure fluid of it all, the bloating.
Well, they've said he's put on 30 pounds of muscle since the break.
But he's put distance on his ball. He's put a lot of distance on his drive. The only other thing that concerns me is, like, that was the intake. How does the outtake work with that? Like, that's a lot of ins and outs. Like,
you ever seen a whale's blowhole?
I would need my own personal porta potty to follow me T-box to T-box, just in case. Like,
yeah, no, that'd be rough. That'd be rough. I honestly, I looked at his breakfast and I'm like, okay, I'm with you. Let's do this.
Yep.
The PB&J sandwich. You're with me so far. I'm great. I don't know what the next thing is. Rush, you agreed, which made me think you may have a clue what that is.
Yeah.
Okay, protein bar. That's fine. You got me with the shakes. You lost me at the end. I am not someone to say no to steak and potatoes, but I'm not doing that every single day. You need to give me something else. I don't mind the turf, but give me the surf at some point. That's all I'm saying.
the monotony of it isn't even my issue of it. My two issues is, how are you on this huge expensive diet and you're having starch that late in the night? First off, that's a big no-no. Everybody knows this. Second, how you have an odd number of bacon? I physically can't understand how you have an odd number of bacon. How do you have five pieces of bacon? Like, no, you have four, you have six, you have a whole pack. You don't have five.
Guys, I in all my years, I have never actually seen a human's reaction when their mind is blown. I just got to see it with Justin Marcus. The guy is a mad scientist to begin with in look, but watching a little bald man grab his head and try to hold it all in there as he figures it out, I will never, ever understand. You're hurting right now, aren't you?
I've had so much enjoyment eating bacon that I've never counted bacon.
Also a good point. It takes some of the fun away from bacon. Like, I shouldn't even have one bacon. I'm gonna.
I already think about you a lot in my daily routine, and now the next time I make breakfast with bacon, I'm like, but Rustin, I can't have it out of
my mouth. Oh, God.
You put your bacon at whatever closet.
All right, so
quantity, don't do that.
All right, so before we call it a day, last thing, this is going to be a little bit of a reach for Russ. Jay, you should be able to, you know, stay with it, but I want to get you guys to both give me what the winning score will be when it's all said and done. Nate Lashley won it last year, shooting 25 under for 4 days. So you do the math there. It's not too terrible of a couple days for him, you know. So I want to ask you, Jay, I'll let you go first here. 25 under won it last year. You don't have to tell me who's going to win, but is 25 under still realistic? Do you think maybe the PGA and DGC has done a little something to prevent them from that, at least going that low again?
Yeah, I think it's going to be closer to like 18 or 19. It's going to be hot as balls, and I hope they made that course more difficult because you had people going way under way too quickly, and you lose audience that way. Give me some terrible pin locations. Give me some hazards. I mean, it's already a hazard to come here, but give me some other hazards other than COVID, and give me a solid 16. Okay. Number 16.
Solid 16. I like it. Russ, what's going to win it this week?
So the OOO music video came out in 2011. Give me under 11.
I love this.
All right.
I got to watch under this 11. Video.
Under 11.
It's so
okay.
bad. It's so bad.
Oh, it's terrible. But they did it for charity. It raised – because Bubba and Ricky are both in it, actually. So it's great.
Is that Bubba in the overalls? And the bare feet?
Yep.
Oh, man.
I actually have my driver head cover is Bubba in the overalls, but he's got like a Bubba visor on.
Fantastic.
It's great. It's great. All right. So Jay said around 18.
16.
Russ, 16? Russ, 16. Russ said about 11. I'm going to fairly split the difference. I'm going to say somewhere around 13, 14 under. I think guys are going to score, but I think that heat mixed with the fact that I think they probably have done a little bit. I was out there a couple weeks ago and the rough was already horrifying. Like, from what I understand, Justin could get lost if he steps off the fairway.
Or a new hairdo.
Yeah, or he could actually get a hairdo. So I'm going to say somewhere around 13, 1400. I think that should do it. And I think it should be fun. I'm very excited to watch it. I really am. So we'll see what happens. But that's going to do it for us here on Armchair Sports Talk. As always, I have to thank the Statman, Russ Ivanek, the only person I know who can take a music video from 9 years ago and connect it to everything he talks about PGA.
I am richer in culture and poorer in intelligence for finding that video. But I want to thank you for making me pick golf so that I could find it.
There you go. There you go. And listen, we don't get it very often lately. He's been pretty mellow, but today I'm very happy to say Sergeant Salty came back, and he came back with a fury. And if, in my opinion, nothing makes this show better than when Justin Marcus just takes all of his salt intake and puts it all over our viewers.
Hey, well, that was sexual, but I also don't need to work out because I can literally just come to this show and it just take all the venom I have and pull it out of me. I feel relaxed. I feel like I just ran 5 miles in probably 2 minutes, not 60 seconds. So I'm happy to do it, my friend.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And as always, I'm your host, Derek Dorsch. Try to stay cool out there. It is going to get really, really hot this week or for the next week. And we'll be back next week to recap the Rocket Mortgage and talk about everything else happening in sports. Like I said, I'm your host, Derek Dorsch. One small step for us, one giant leap back in Detroit sports broadcasting.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. May God have mercy on your soul.